Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. We're so glad you came out this morning. Welcome, visitors. Let's all start our service. Grab a favorite gospel song, the Gray Hymnal. Stand on our first hymnal this morning, page 40. 40, page 40. We'll do verse 1, 2, and 4. Page 40. Thank you. Beautiful. You may be seated. Beautiful singing this morning. Let's turn over to page 12. Page 12. Song entitled, I Know I'm Saved. Page 12.
wonderful song, isn't it? That was my Uncle Lee's favorite song. And he had the book number or the page number memorized. And about, almost every other Sunday, he'd say, sing number 196, is what he would say. Because he wanted to let people know, I'm saved and I know it, and I'm thankful for that. And that was one of the blessings of growing up around people that knew the Lord and knew about heartfelt salvation. And that's a great thing right there, to know that you're saved. And we are thankful for that blessing today. Right quick, I'm going to give you a little bit of a praise report. I gave this in Sunday school. But for you that were not there this morning, we've been blessed to hear of many people getting saved this week. And that's a great thing, to hear of newborn souls coming in to the family of God. And that's wonderful. Paul's been playing the piano for Caney Fork this week, and it's been a blessing to be there this week. They had a brother and sister. The sister told she got saved about a couple weeks ago, and then her older brother heard her talking about being saved, and he thought, I better get serious. So he got down and started praying and got saved. That was a blessing. They had an older boy, I shouldn't call him young man, I should call him, he's probably around 20-year-old, that they've been real worried about for several years. He'd been very hard-hearted and really just didn't want to make any kind of effort. His best friend on Monday night told at his church he got saved. He called him to tell him about it. When he did, that got on to him. He said, I need to get something done. And he got tore up all day long the next day. And finally, late Tuesday afternoon on his mother and daddy's couch, he prayed through and got saved. Now, they still got a lot of things going on. They still got several to pray for. But that's the gist of the glory. But that's not the only place. They set up in Emmanuel. They had one to get saved there, one at Dover. And no doubt there's probably been some more at other places that we haven't heard about. So God's still in the saving business. That's the great thing. We still have an opportunity to see more saved. We got to see Landon tell about his salvation here a couple weeks ago. But there's still others that we need to be praying for. And there may be some here today that's not saved. And if you're here today, I want you to know this altar is open. It's here. It's open for you to come and pray at. It will not save you. Coming forward will not save you. But I'm going to let you know something. Jesus will save you if you'll make an effort to try to find him. Paul put it in this way. Feel after him. That means you're kind of in the dark and you have to feel for him. And that's kind of the way it is. So feel after the Lord today is what I would tell you to do. I'll hush and we'll get on about business today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Got a lot of visitors with us today. Brother Trey's family has turned out well for him today. If you're visiting with us and you didn't know, you don't have to listen to me other than preliminaries today. Brother Trey Yates told his calling to preach here a couple weeks ago, and we're going to let him preach his first sermon today. You get to hear his first time standing for the Lord. Now, that's going to be a variation as far as how people will react to that. Some will say, well, he's got it to do. Some will say, boy, he preached the best sermon I ever heard. He can't let that go to his head. But the idea is he makes a start. And so we're going to be allowing him to stand today. We're glad to have a lot of his family and friends with us today, and we appreciate all of you coming out. If you're not a family or friend with Brother Trey today and you're just visiting with us, we're glad to have you. Make yourself right at home with us today, and pray that the Lord will be in this service. I want you to know this. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you're a brother and sister in the Lord with us, and we want you to worship the Lord today. We want you to worship God today. So in this service today, we are glad to have you with us today. We're glad to see each and every one here. We're going to get on about our normal service. And Brother Sam does a children's church for our younger kids to come up and just have a little bit of church time just with our little kids. We'll turn it over to Brother Sam at this time.
We'll meet over here real quick. Hi, Cohen. How are you? That's not your name? Is your name Geiger Looper? Okay. Well, very good. I'm glad to have you here. All right. It's a good-looking bunch. It's a good-looking bunch. All right. We'll have just a quick meeting here, okay? Here we go. Eyes on me. Eyes on me. Eyes on me. Okay? What did I say? Eyes on me. Eyes on me. Thank you. All right. We're here today. It's a special occasion, as Brother Ricky just said, that we're going to hear a young man stand for his first time. And so today's subject is just that, preaching. Do y'all know how preachers, and I'm talking about preachers now, genuine preachers, who God wants to preach, you know how he lets them know? They're called.
Jesus was a preacher.
Boy, he was. He was the best one ever. They are called. I don't think Brother Ricky sometimes said one day, I think I'm going to preach, you know. I think he can take you back to when the Lord called him. I can do the same thing. I was over at my mother's house a long time ago. Y'all heard of a man named Jonah? Yeah? What happened to Jonah?
He got eaten by a whale.
Eaten by a whale. You know why he got eaten by a whale?
Because he didn't
listen to Jesus. Y'all have been listening. He ran from preaching. That's what I did. I went many years before I owned my calling. But I'm so glad that Trey here. The whale or Jonah? The whale was a big fish, wasn't it? But anyway, so he got his attention, and so he went and preached, okay? And so, you know, we here believe that God calls men to preach. Those are genuine preachers. Not everybody that is saved, the men that are saved are preachers. But you got to be saved to be a preacher. I don't believe that God calls people in the ministry. And on some occasions, you'll save them and call them to preach at the same time. I've heard of men doing that. And there was a man named Paul. You've heard of Paul? He was struck down. He was mean, but the Lord made a preacher out of him. So let's pray for Brother Trey, okay? Let's pray for Brother Colton. Colton is another young preacher. He preaches tonight. Let's don't forget him, okay? And let's listen. Y'all here looking, listening to me, I want you to have the same attention to Brother Trey. But just remember that God calls preachers. God calls preachers. You don't need to be preaching if you're not called.
Amen.
All right, are we ready? Eyes on me. Let's stand up. Say, I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Amen. Real quick. All right, let's listen to Trey. Here we go. Thank you.
We are thankful that God does call men to preach. And I want you to keep Brother Trey on your heart today as he will be standing here in a few minutes. But there's others that need our prayers. You may have a prayer request today, and if you would like to share that with us, go ahead and share it at this time. We'll be going to the Lord in prayer. Anybody got a prayer request on your heart? I'll ask you to remember the revivals that are going on around. Ones that's going on, ones that will be starting tonight. We're in the middle of what we call revival season in this area, and there's a lot of people that needs to hear the truth of God to where that they can be saved. So keep that in mind today as we get into this service today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. Go ahead. Lord, help. Yeah. Lord, help. Let's do remember this. Somebody else. We want to continue to remember Brother Jeff. He's, as it's been said, he's over in hospice care. We do want to remember him and his family, during this time of trouble. Somebody else? Lord, help. Let's remember this. Let's be prayerful for one another, and let's don't forget to pray for Brother Trey today. It's a, for lack of better words, it's a nerve-wracking thing the first time you stand. It's still that way every time you stand, but you learn to deal with it a little better. So let's be prayerful for Brother Trey today. Any other prayer requests? We're glad to have each and every one with us today. We want to be about the Lord's business in this service. And let's just ask God to help us today. Brother Bill, will you start our prayer, please?
As we continue our service, turn over to 146. 146. 146. 146. One of our special visitors today, Brother Isaiah Shelley, will sing a special for us. Let's turn over to 204. 204. Thank you.
As he said, I'm Isaiah Shelley, and I know this is probably kind of last minute. Well, it is last minute. Ain't no kind to do it, but I recorded a song, well, a medley of songs, a couple months ago on an album I'm working on, and I dedicated it to my dad, who I lost this past April to cancer, and they're familiar songs to you, and I hope that they'll bless you.
Appreciate the good songs this morning. We are glad to have everybody here today. We're glad to have our visitors, as we said before. I want you to pray for Brother Trey as he comes forward. I know I've done said that several times before, but it is it's needful that we pray that the Lord will bless him today as he comes to stand, that the Lord would give him the words not Trey give the words, but the Lord give Trey the words. That was that's always been one of my prayers whenever I stand, is, Lord, you put the words in my mouth. Just let me be the mouthpiece, and it be your words. And any God-called preacher, that's the way he's got to preach, because if he preaches his words, they'll fall to the ground. But God's words, they'll never come back void. And that's the aim of preaching God's word, is that God's word would not come back void. And so let's be prayerful today, and let's pray for him. And so we'll turn the service over to him at this time. Brother Trey, love you.
Good morning, church. Wow. Thank you so much for coming out to hear the word of the Lord this morning. For those of you that don't know me, most of you do, but my name is Trey Yates. My wife, Tiffany, and I have been members here at Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist for about the past 2 years now. And I just have to say how thankful that we are, that the Lord has led us to a place where we are not only loved and accepted and encouraged, but that we can learn and grow in the Lord and given an opportunity to serve him. I'm very thankful to him for that this morning. Again, I would please ask you to pray for me that I would let the Lord use me as an instrument in a way that he sees fit to bring a message that he wants heard. To our visitors, I'd just like to reiterate that you are all very welcome here. We are always happy to see new faces in the building. And it really just means so much to me that you would take time out of your busy schedules to come join us here this morning for the next 4 hours of devoted Bible study and fellowship and worship. Thank you. No, really. Thank you for being here. And please also pray for Brother Ricky. As I stand up here, I'm sure he's just as nervous as I am. So we're going to be taking a look at the book of Titus this morning. If you bring your open your Bibles to the book of Titus in the New Testament. The book of Titus was written by Paul the Apostle to his protege. It was a pastoral letter to his protege Titus, who was a young preacher, who he had, at this point, left on the island of Crete, where several churches, established churches there, were found lacking in the way they were conducting themselves. And so Paul tasks Titus with a few things. First, he gives Titus the task of finding men that meet certain characteristic qualifications for leadership in the church. And then Paul goes on to warn Titus of not only blatant false teachers in the church, but Judaizers who mean well and say they're of the faith, but they're still holding not only the Jews in the area, but also Gentiles to the Mosaic law as a way for salvation. And this is a problem that needs to be fixed. So that's the second task that Paul gives Titus, is to replace those leaders with the new leaders he has appointed. Paul then goes on to give us as Christians, just the laymen, in specific groups, guidelines for how a true believer of Christ, someone who's truly been born again and regenerated by the Holy Spirit, should be living their lives. And he lays it out very black and white. There's not a lot of room for interpretation here. I would take this at face value. And then he goes on for to give Titus instructions for how those preachers should teach and how exactly we come about to be saved. So I assume you're all at Titus now. We'll start in the first chapter, in the first verse of Titus. Paul opens, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. And this jumped out to me. Before the world began, he promised us eternal life. So when Tiffany and I about a year and a half ago, found out that we were going to have our little baby Ezra back there. We were ecstatic. We were so excited. And immediately we started planning things for him, like what his name would be, what his room would look like, how we would raise him, how we would teach him right from wrong, what exactly right from wrong was. Luckily, we have a manual for that. And how we would discipline him when he did wrong, because we knew that he would do wrong eventually. Now, yeah, if you, I see her shaking her head. If you ask either one of his grandmothers, they'll tell you, no, he'll never do anything wrong. He never has. Why would he? But we know better. Tiffany and I know better because we know ourselves, and he is the essence of our spirits put together. And even though we knew that he would do wrong, that he would disobey us, that he would lie to us at some point, that he would surely break our hearts one day, that he would try to deceive us, even though he came from us and we know better already, but he'll try. We still wanted him. We were still excited to have him. And that didn't take away from the excitement or the love that we felt already before he was even here. And I think that's the same with God and us. See, God loved us before he created us. He knew that we would do wrong. He knew that we would disobey, that we would lie, that we would hurt ourselves and others intentionally and otherwise, that we would try to deceive him and get one over on him, even though that's ridiculous if you think about it for 2 seconds, because we came from him. We are the essence of his spirit. We are created in his likeness. We were created holy and eternally to have eternal souls to live forever. Now, we sinned and messed that up, but that doesn't change the fact that he promised us that before the world began. He gave us an out because he knew we would do wrong. He gave us a plan of salvation before he even created us. Wow. Verse 4, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. And then he goes on to give the qualifications for those men that he's supposed to find. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. That's another word for money or dirty money. So this word bishop here or elder is synonymous with our word pastor. And you may be thinking, why are we going over this? None of us in this room are pastors except for one that I know of. But this applies to us as well, just as everyday Christians, as believers. Now, this is for the believers, because if the pastor is the example for us, does it not stand to reason that we are supposed to follow that example? But he should be a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word that he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine to exhort or encourage and convince the gainsayers or the skeptics. So he should not only be an example to his flock and others of what Christ looked like, the best that he can to his ability, but he should also be able to teach the skeptics. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. That means they that say they're of the faith, but their actions would prove otherwise. And you'll see that here in a second. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things that they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. They'll say anything for money. That's what he's saying here. There are teachers out there that will say anything to draw a big crowd to get more money. That's just plainly what he's saying. Verse 16 says, they profess to know God, but in their works deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and to every good work reprobate. And we see where Paul warns Timothy in this in 2 Timothy, just one page over, chapter 4, verse 3, where he's talking about the people. Not only do these teachers exist and are they accepted, but they're sought after. Paul says in 2 Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So not only will they leave the truth, because the truth, we've heard it a million times, the truth is hard. It's hard to hear. It's plain, but it's hard for us to hear. And a lot of these lies that they're looking for with their itching ears are easy teachings, and that's why they seek after them. It makes their conscience feel better for a while, but that peace never comes. They'll look for lies because they're easy to hear. You may have heard some of these, like, all you have to do is do one good deed a day, you'll get to heaven. It's not how it works. You may have heard, sow a seed of $1,000 and we'll send you this prayer cloth and you'll be blessed. We'll pray over this cloth. You just give us $1,000 and your life will be fixed and you'll be in heaven. None of that makes any sense. This is just a little cloth. It's not magic. It doesn't get me to heaven. I don't pray to it or over it. But it does. It's the cloth that I got baptized right in this baptistry by this man right here. And it doesn't do anything but give me, maybe absorb a little sweat off my hands, but it also reminds me of the newness of life that I should walk in after, especially that moment right there, but really the moment I got saved. Another lie that they'll look after with their itching ears is, you may have heard this one, name it and claim it, where you just say what you want and you can manifest it physically, as if humans could do that. My friends, only our sovereign God can do that. That's how he created us. You may have heard, pray this prayer. Just repeat after me and you'll be saved. I think that's one of the most common ones. That won't get you to heaven. That will not save you. Only the grace of Jesus Christ will save you. So then, and I think some of these false teachers that do this are the same ones that Jesus warned us about in chapter 7 of Matthew, in verse 22, where Jesus warns, many will say to me in that day, or the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So he's not denying that they have works, but they're working iniquity. They're working for the wrong reasons. They're not seeking after the things of the kingdom. They're seeking after the things of earth. And so he will say, I don't even know you. Go away. That's a scary thought. You don't want to be there. So how can we avoid that? Well, Paul in the second chapter of Titus, he continues to give us sound doctrine of how we should be living as newborn believers in Christ. He says, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity. That's another word for love, by the way. In patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God not be blasphemed, be not blasphemed. And I know one of the things that jumps out to us here is keepers at home in verse 5. Now, this is not to say, young women, that you should not leave your home or that you should not work outside of the home. I know that's almost impossible in today's society to raise a family, especially with many children, on one income. Now, if you can work that out, I believe the Lord blesses that. But that's not what this is saying. This is saying keepers at home. That means in your home, your husband, your children, if you have them, you should be the one that they run to for comfort when they feel vulnerable. Your children, your husband, they should be your first priority, not your career or anything else. That's what this means. And obedient to your own husbands. That's not to say that every woman should obey every man. That's not what that says. But obey your own husbands. Here in America, thankfully, we have the option of who we get to marry. And you need to be sure when you marry your husband, young women, that as he follows God, you're willing to follow him. As he follows God. It goes on to young men. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he is of the contrary part, may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you. It's very plain. This is saying that in your speech and in the way you carry yourself and in the way you conduct yourself, if anyone were to come against you and say something uncorrupt about you, they wouldn't even be believed. We see this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, where he tells Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. So we're not to let go of our doctrine, we're to hold tight to it. And we are, Brother Colton, we're not only supposed to be live our lives in a way that would show that these older men that we've been listening and we're applying it, but also to show the ones younger than us, hey, this is it. This is how Christians should be living their lives. This is how a young man acts. Verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. What hope are we talking about? The hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We are to be a peculiar people. We should look different from the world. If the world looks at us and sees no different than them, then we're doing something wrong. We should look peculiar and different from the world and be zealous of good works. We should be excited to do good works. As believers, we don't look at it like we have to do good works. We get to. Because if we're lost, we don't have the Holy Spirit in us and we're not able to do any good works. We now have the power to do good works. So we're excited about that. We're zealous for it. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And we see this in Romans chapter 6, where he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life, because we weren't always like this. We were adopted into God's family. We weren't born into God's family. No one is. You have to be adopted. For verse 3 in Titus chapter 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. This was us. This was the believers before we were regenerated by the Holy Spirit and we were lost. Some longer than others, and man, that's a hard road to walk down. The longer you do. We were disobedient. We were deceitful. We served our own pleasures. We were malicious and envious and hateful. We had hate in our hearts. But what happened? But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he had shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the eternal hope of life that God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. And I'll leave you with this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace ye are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Friends, if on the judgment day you think God is going to ask what you've done for him, how is there a way to answer that without boasting? There's not. There's nothing that we can do to earn our salvation. There's nothing you can do to earn your salvation to get to heaven. It's a gift of God by grace through faith. Now, the faith part is on us. We have to have faith. What does that look like? It means humbling ourselves enough to understand and that we can't do anything of our own volition to get to heaven. And it's to seek the Lord. Sometimes it looks like walking down to this altar. Sometimes you just fall on your face and cry in tears. Sometimes you're in your car and you can't do anything, but you feel that conviction. You feel that change inside. And you start to seek the Lord. And that's where the grace comes in. That the grace is his part. Faith is our part. The grace is his part. The grace is what saves us. It's not even our faith. That's the first part. But his grace saves us and nothing else. Jesus' death and resurrection is the only way we're going to get to heaven. May God bless you. Thank you.
In this, a lot of scripture there. He's still got a lot to learn. He's got to learn to memorize. He's got to memorize those verses. He's got it started. He's using the book. One of the things I always look for out of a preacher, I don't care if he's young, first time, second time, or old like me, I look to see if he uses the word of God. Because that's the power of God unto salvation. And so I look for that. I'm thankful for his use of the scripture today in this effort today. Appreciate the good message. Enjoyed what he had to say. And he brought us a good message today. I want us to come and have a song, Brother Brad, if we can. I want us to come around and shake hands one with another in good Christian love. I want us to come around and shake his hand today. And by that, I hope you're going to be saying that you're praying for him, that you appreciate what he did today for the Lord. It's not about appreciating him, but appreciating what he did for the Lord. It's not about the preacher. Never should be. It's about what we do for the Lord today. So while we sing these songs today, there's a good crowd here. Just work your right way around. Shake hands with Brother Trey. And we'll ask him to come down here in front. And everybody come around and shake hands with you. If you don't feel like coming around, us to share, be that close with everybody. We appreciate you coming, though, today. Everybody, well, let's come around and shake hands one with another in good Christian love.
219, 219.